cold and rainy, and it's a good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
There we go. There we go. All right. All right. Welcome. Welcome this morning to the West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, also affectionately known as WUF. My name is Salima Malson. I use the pronouns she and her, and it is my joy and privilege to serve as your lay leader this morning. Whoever and wherever you are, whether you're physically here with us in the sanctuary, and whether you're masked or unmasked, or if you're watching online, you are very welcome here. Whether this is your first time or the 100th time through our doors, you are very, very welcome here. We hope that you will join us downstairs after the service for coffee and conversation. And if you're online, join us, please, online. And there's a link. There'll be a link in your email that you got this morning. And if you haven't got that, let us know and you'll get it. This month's theme, November's theme, has been about change, all about change. The only thing that we ever can really count on. And we've been taking a closer look. We've been taking a very much closer look at how we think about it, how we manage it, how we try to get out of its way. This morning, our community minister, Reverend Leslie Becknell Marks, is going to invite us to stretch beyond our comfort zone, to open our arms, to actually embrace the changes that we've been exploring, and to lean into our mission, which calls us to grow both in compassionate community and in service to the wider world. So, let us begin our time together by standing in body or in spirit and singing from your gray hymnal, number 368. Now let us sing.
Good morning, everybody. Please stand and choose the part that feels best for you. Now let us sing
to the power of the faith within.
Now let us sing
to the power of the faith within.
Lift up your voice,
be not afraid.
Now let us sing
to the power of the faith within.
Now let us
sing to the power of the hope within.
Now let us
sing to the power of the hope within.
Lift up your voice,
be not afraid.
Now let us sing
to the power of the hope within.
Now let us
sing to the power of the hope within.
Now let us
sing to the power of the love within.
Lift up your voice,
lift up your voice.
Be not afraid.
Sing to the power of the love within.
Now let us sing.
Sing to the power of the joy within.
Now let us
sing to the power of the joy within.
Lift up your voice,
lift up your voice.
Be not afraid.
And let us sing to the power of the joy within.
Thank you. Sounded great.
Rousing.
That did sound great. I picked it. I'm like, we can do this. Yeah, we can do this. And we did. Good morning. I am the Reverend Leslie Becknell Marks, and I am one of your community ministers. I am very glad to be here with you today, and I bring some exciting news about my ministry, which is that the congregation in Northeast Portland, known as the YEAST Congregation, has been seeking, a quarter-time minister to serve them. That's the level of ministry they can afford and support, and I, starting December 1st, will be that minister after they... Oh. Thank you. Thank you. I celebrate that as well. And we will still be here, and Adam and Aaron will still be here. So I am also still a community minister doing the community leadership work that I do, supported and loved by you all, and I will be connected to Y East. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that all evolves. Welcome. When we say woof, we mean this place and these people, West Hills UU Fellowship. So if you are new and you hear us say woof, that is what we mean. If you're here, you might want to put your phone in airplane mode because we're sending all kinds of data out there to the people watching at home. And I think airplane mode helps that go more smoothly. I don't quite get how that works, but it does. And now we're going to light our chalice. So I invite us all to together say our chalice lighting words. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors. Thank you. And thank you, Salima. Our opening reading for today is from my colleague, the Reverend Katie Kandarian Morris. Here we have come into this sacred space, quieter now with our readiness, hushed voices, hoping, trusting for so many things. For connection, for communion, for inspiration, for information, for healing, for wholeness, for words, for music, for celebration and consolation. Here we have come into this space bringing all of who we are. Let us be willing. However we might be changed. And now it's time for all ages. I see a few kids out there. Do you want to stay where you are or do you want to come up here? I see Oliver saying stay where I am, but I see Isaac about to move. Who wants to come? Isaac, you want to come up or you want to stay there? Come on up. Okay, now Oliver, you and Ada are stuck coming up too. I really don't know how I did that. I didn't mean to scare you all away. Do you want to go ahead and come up? I promise. I don't really promise because I don't know how I did that. I promise to not make that kind of noise again the best I can. Oh, and Oliver's not coming. Okay, thank you, Oliver. I love that you're holding true to yourself. Do y'all want to sit there in the front? Or do you want to come up here? What do you think, Isaac? Right there? So I have a book here. This author is named Todd Parr, and the thing that is most distinctive about his books is the illustrations and how bright they are. So I'm just going to show you a couple of pictures from this book called Be Who You Are. You can see how colorful the people are. Okay, this isn't going to work.
No.
I'm still close enough to you all, right? Okay, I'm going to find some pictures to show you. Be Who You Are is the theme of this book. So we can be old and we can be young. We could be a different color, whatever is true for us. We can wear everything you need to be you. Whatever you need, wear it all. So you can get the feel for these books. So we had a book just like this called about all the different kinds of families. So here's be proud of where you're from. Be your own family. But I remember about the Todd Parr book that we had that it didn't really have all the families that I knew about, that I saw. And so I'm curious, what kind of families do you think we have here at WOOF? Any ideas, Ada? Who's your family? Brother, a sister, a mom and a dad, and two dogs. Yeah. So that's kind of the classic family, right? Maybe we would add a cat to the mix just to really round things out. But we also have families with two moms, with two dads, with one mom, with we have families where there's two different houses where people go. We have families where there's someone extra close to the parents who are also part of the family. We have families where people know their aunt and talk to them every day. And we have people where their aunt, they don't really ever see them. Or we have people where the aunt is across the globe, but you know that she would get on a plane and come in a second if you needed her. So there's all kinds of families. And there are families where you're still a family, even though maybe one of you is far, far away in another country because you can't get to where the rest of your family is because of some laws. Some people have families that are partly in jail and in prison, and so they can't be with their kids except on visiting days, but they're still a family. People have foster families who take care of them. People are adopted at when they're babies, like when we adopted Aaron when he was a tiny baby. Some people are adopted when they're 17 years old. So there's all kinds of ways to make a family, and we have all these kind of families here with us at WOOF. And I'm so glad that we do. We have families where we see the person here and where somebody else stays home every time because that's what works for their well-being. But we're all families. And the people who are single are also families. They have homes full of love, and they want to connect and open their homes just as much. So I invite us to think about all the kind of families and how we can connect with all of them. And we're going to sing you all out to your religious education, and you're going to make decorations for the church, is what I hear is going to happen. Let us all sing together as we sing the children out. Welcome to you, Harvey. Well, November is traditionally the month when we focus on gratitude and giving. We know that these two elements are woven into our everyday lives like an infinity symbol. They can't be separated. And they take many forms. The building of beloved community relies totally on the weaving of gratitude and giving. Our gratitude for this amazing property that we are blessed to inhabit prompts some of us to show up for the monthly work parties that keep our grounds safe and nourished. Some of us give back by serving beverages or bringing goodies to share at our after-service coffee hour. And stay to do the dishes. Each and every one of us has a gift to offer, not just to our families and our UU buddies, but to the world at large. You think your gift is too small? Think again, and never underestimate the power of a smile or a kind word. This week, a group of WOOFers partnered with the Just Compassion Shelter and Resource Center in Tigard and the Friends Community Church to provide Thanksgiving dinner for several dozen houseless and marginalized guests. And after today's service, some of us will make our way to the Starbucks at Garden Home just down the street in support of the employees who are striking to unionize for the sake of better working conditions. Both of these are old, old stories that go on and on and on.
Systemic change happens slowly. It takes a lot of work. While none of us were directly responsible for stealing the land we call ours, nor for dehumanizing our country's original peoples, or enslaving the people of color we brought here against their will, and while none of us fired the weapons of hate that have taken the precious lives of children and members of the LGBTQ or other religious communities, we are called upon to contribute in whatever way we can to dismantling the systems that keep those practices in place. So whether your offering today takes the form of financial support, the sharing of your time or talent, or simply a smile and a kind word, we are grateful for it. And I suggest that as the offering baskets are passed, whether you place something in it or not, that you hold it in your hands for a moment with intention. So if Craig and Linda will come forward for the baskets, we will gratefully receive your offerings. And as the baskets are being passed, Leslie is going to light two more candles on our chalice table. One in remembrance and acknowledgement of Native American Heritage Month, and one to acknowledge Transgender Remembrance Day. Thank you all for your generous support of our community. Let us speak together our affirmation of gratitude and giving. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, when we do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others. So, as we know only too well, we live in a world where joy and sorrow are continuously being woven together. A world where one day we are celebrating a birth, and the next day we're mourning a death, or perhaps multiple deaths, whether from natural disaster, the tragedy of war, or a twisted psyche. We live in a world where we close our eyes for a minute, and suddenly something that was there is gone. Compassionate and beloved community can be a container for all of it. And so we invite those of you who are carrying great joy or deep sorrow, or celebrating a birthday or an anniversary, to come forward and mindfully, silently place a stone into the water, knowing that your community is holding you in its heart.
I invite you to join me in the spirit of prayer and reflection. Into the quiet of this moment, in the company of each other, let us take a breath together.
come here seeking connection with others, which is sometimes easy and sometimes difficult. There's no instruction manual with guaranteed methods to initiate meaningful relationships, to move from acquaintance to friendship. We are here with all our longings and our insecurities, our talents, and our shortcomings. And so, Spirit of life and love, help us begin by accepting ourselves and each other exactly as we are. Let us create together a sense of wonder and curiosity about each other and what we might learn together. Let us enter a time of silence as we sit here with ourselves and with each other. Here we are, all in one place, the wants and wounds of the human race, despair and hope sit face to face. This is a good moment to breathe. Today's reading, which is from my colleague, the Reverend Sean Parker Dennison, and he is the minister in Ashland at the Rogue Valley UU Fellowship, where I used to be the minister in the early 10s, I guess we would say, 2010s. And it is a letter to us from our better angels. So our better angels write to us. Dear one, we have received your letter, and we hate to tell you, well, not hate so much, but are a bit afraid to say, we cannot grant your requests as stated, but can only remind you of familiar things. First, faith. Faith in yourself. And trust in others. We know it can be terrifying to be vulnerable, but only when you share your softest side will we be able to break through. Next, hope. Hope is not an empty fairy tale. It is the true story of all the times human beings like you have found a way to create the future, though you didn't know how. And of course, love. Love that demands you cherish all people, not just yourself and safety. Love that is not satisfied until every argument ends abruptly when one child says, "That hurts." There is so much to learn and relearn. The world teaches you to be hard, to negotiate and defend, to avoid giving too much and to the wrong people. There are no wrong people. You also are not wrong. And when you encounter the poor, the broken, the unhoused and unwelcome, you are looking, if you pay attention, at us, calling to you, calling you to answer your own prayers. If you want to change the world first, be sure you are changing yourself. Be tender. Be kind. Be at peace. Be all the things you wish for. Be your own better self. It isn't without cost, but it will be free. And now we're going to invite Brad, Scott, and Spencer up to lead us in singing "We Are a Gentle, Angry People."
gentle, angry people. And we are singing, singing for our lives. We are gentle, angry people. And we are singing, singing for our lives. We are land of many colors. And we are singing, singing for our lives. We are land of many colors. And we are singing, singing for our lives. We are a rainbow group of people. And we are singing, singing for our lives.
Set up in a way that's working well for us. Yes? Yes. All right. Thank you, Brad. Thank you, Scott, Brad, and Spencer. And Scott explained to us that they changed a lyric in that song. So we used to sing, "We are gay and straight together." And instead we sang, "We are a rainbow. We are a group of rainbow people. We are a group of rainbow-loving people." And that just reflects our enhanced understanding of the whole complex of gender identity and sexual orientation and a whole variety of things, but that's more inclusive. So we learn, we change, we keep learning, we keep changing. And sometimes change happens slowly, and like we don't really notice the way that like our hair gets longer, and one day we're just like, oh, my hair is long. You know? Oh, didn't really notice that change, but now here it is. Other times change is more obvious, more challenging, some kind of event, expected or unexpected, comes, and it's like, whoa, that there's kind of a before and an after, like things have changed. And sometimes, you know, we plan for those and long for those and work toward those. And sometimes it's totally unexpected. So if we think back to March of 2020 here at WOOF, we had the beautiful installation service for our Reverend Tracy Springberry with that service and celebration that was really years in the making in terms of West Hills getting comfortable with having a minister and selecting the right minister and increasing the hours and understanding what was possible. And then just a couple of days after, we closed the doors of WOOF in response to the entirely unexpected COVID pandemic. So things change in all kinds of ways. There's also that kind of change that happens when we choose to engage with difference, with things that push us in new directions, that disrupt our routines. And these kind of opportunities for change are always available to us, but we often kind of shy away from them, understandably so. We find comfort in the familiar. And I'm wondering how many of you, as you think about how you came to Unitarian Universalism, the kind of the why of that. And I so often hear, oh, it's because I found my people. I found kindred spirits. You know, this is a place where it feels like I'm coming home. I can relax and settle. And yet, we are called here to West Hills in order to together plant seeds of inspiration, grow in compassionate community, and bloom with service to the wider world. So growing in compassionate community means expanding and including and stretching to be ever wider and more welcoming, and to invite that wider world in to help us bloom. We need fertile soil with diverse nutrients to truly bloom together. And this fall and winter, it's a time of kind of reopening and re-entering and exploring as we're all learning how to navigate this world with COVID as part of our reality that we're figuring out just how to live with. So we've got new people visiting, familiar faces from the past returning. How do we welcome them in, not just for a Sunday, but for real, for integration? I love this poem by Naomi Shihab Nye. The Arabs used to say, when a stranger appears at your door, feed him for 3 days before asking who he is, where he's from, where he's headed. That way, he'll have strength enough to answer. Or, by then, you'll be such good friends that you don't care. Let's go back to that. Rice? Pine nuts? Here, take the red brocade pillow. My child will serve water to your horse. No, I was not busy when you came. I was not preparing to be busy. That's the armor everyone put on to pretend they had a purpose in the world. I refuse to be claimed. Your plate is waiting. We will snip fresh mint into your tea. How could we provide that kind of welcome to new faces, returning faces that we see here at WOOF? How can we recognize that is part of the purpose, to expand this garden and bloom ever more brightly, to be open to transforming who we are as a community? In Ashland, where I was the minister, we tried to reflect this in our new member joining ceremony. And so it would start with the president of the congregation asking, have we, members and friends, prepared a place in this house and in our hearts and minds to embrace our newest members into fellowship? Do we understand that each time a new member joins us, we reconstitute, change, and grow as a congregation? And then the congregation responded, we have a place for you and we receive you with joy. This is a place of friendship and religious exploration. We honor each individual search within our shared vision to give, grow, and grace the world as a religiously liberal community. This congregation is an oasis for our spirits, cradle for our dreams, and a workshop for our common endeavors. We gladly share it with you and look forward to the transformations that you will make in us. And then the new members pledge some things to the congregation, including that they will share with us to challenge us and to change us. So do we understand that we're not here to settle into our comfy, cozy woof as it is and always has been and always should be, but that we are actually here for transformation and to bring this to more and more people. And it's going to be challenging. There's an experiment that was done in the desert that demonstrates how we as human beings and how we as congregations actually need change and challenge to evolve. So this experiment involved a biosphere in Arizona. So they built this like 3-acre, you know, essentially giant greenhouse biosphere and planted trees and things were growing. And they noticed that fruit was falling off of the first trees prematurely. And so they were wondering, like, what happened? You know, we made everything perfect. But inside this encapsulated environment, wind, a force that challenges the tree's branches and strengthens them, was absent. So without wind, the branches didn't gain sufficient strength to hold the fruit to the time of maturation. So we need the wind of challenge and change to help us gain strength to reach maturity, to grow into all that we can be. And so we want to be careful that, you know, people who are resisting change and newness are essentially kind of saying, oh, we want to be content in our homeostatic world. But the world is not designed to be homeostatic. It's not an enclosed greenhouse where humans control all the weather. As much as we humans think we can control everything, that's not the nature of life. The world has deeper wisdom than humans controlling humidity and temperature levels. And so how do we engage with this call? Joseph Campbell is the mythologist who's famous for his exploration and explanation of the classic hero's journey. And that journey involves like hearing a call toward your future self and either refusing that call or crossing the threshold into these unknown worlds of what could be. And then you face many tests along the journey. And each of those builds strength, develops new skills, confidence, so that you can actually endure a final ordeal that's going to yield the treasure or the pearl of wisdom or the magic elixir that you will bring home with your transformed self. So how can we see where are we called? How do we say yes to that call? Campbell asks or challenges us, we must be willing to let go of the life we planned so as to have the life that is waiting for us. So I think we get these calls to adventure every Sunday when we see someone new to us here in the sanctuary, on the video screen, in the coffee hour. And how many of these calls do you refuse? And when do you cross that threshold into the unknown worlds? What criteria do you use to decide? Are you most interested in someone who seems like you? Are you thrilled to see someone who doesn't look so much like so many of us do? White, of a certain age, education, and class background. And when you get excited about seeing difference, seeing someone who might not immediately be that just like easy flow of familiarity, is that like a genuine desire to connect with that person, or is it some kind of, oh, I want to feel good about how diverse we are and this community? Or are you willing to open to real relationship? Would you be willing to hear different kinds of music on Sunday morning? To let go of Robert's Rules of Order for a more organic, collaborative way of making decisions? Attend a wedding ceremony for more than two partners committing to each other. Spend money to build an accessible path to our beautiful back woods. Are you eager? Are you curious? Are you willing to discover new insights, have new experiences, and be changed? I think of some of the people who I know who are least like me and how much I have learned from them and how I have become more of who I am. So I think of Megan, the quiet Unitarian Universalist friend from seminary who I initially overlooked, who's taught me the power of perseverance, the profound leadership that just comes through sheer kindness, and the inspiration to follow her own path into single motherhood, creative ministry. Roni is a brilliant, articulate leader in a nonviolence organization who's taught me about neurodivergence and how to accommodate and support the way that their mind works for them to feel included and able to give all of their gifts. Peace, who I know through an ongoing series of workshops, who first kind of befuddled me and then befriended me with warm encouragement to write the middle grade novel that is close to complete now. So each of these friends in their own way reached out to me with authenticity, sharing who they are in a way that let me begin to share more vulnerably with them. And I believe we are both changed for the better. My colleague Sean reminded us in the letter from our better selves, or our higher angels, I can't remember what it was called right now. He says, first, faith. Faith in yourself and trust in others. We know it can be terrifying to be vulnerable, but only when you share your softest side will we be able to break through. So that's when they break through our bigger selves, our better selves. And sometimes that's beautiful and easy, and sometimes not so much. Because, as they tell us, there's so much to learn and relearn. The world teaches you to be hard, to negotiate and defend, to avoid giving too much, and to the wrong people. There are no wrong people. There are no wrong people. We believe in the inherent worth and dignity of each person. Now, there certainly are people who could be more challenging to be with, and since those people are not the same, like my favorite person might be your irritant, the person whose stories you love may be the one that I've declared to be self-centered, the one that you count on for deep listening and quiet accompaniment may be the one that I've completely overlooked or even labeled boring. So a lot of the difficult people are really about us and not about them. What do they stir up in you? What are they asking you to look at in yourself? The Sufi poet Rumi, translated through the unique lens of Coleman Barks, tells us to welcome them all in the guest house. This being human is a guest house. Every morning a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness. Some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still, treat each guest honorably. He may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door laughing and invite them in. Be grateful for whoever comes because each has been sent as a guide from beyond. So WOOF is a place where we can find all kinds of people who might stimulate all kinds of responses with us, within us. And we want to bring in and welcome even more kinds of people, not just to join us in what we're already doing, but to bring who they are and change who we are and what we do. As Salima said, not just to come to the table, but to help design the menu. So our first steps are bright smiles and brief conversations. At a recent young family's dinner, we parents were lamenting that coffee hour can feel really intimidating, kind of hard to break into, anxiety-provoking rather than comforting. And this was not just the quieter, shyer folks saying this, but some of the vibrant, outgoing parents who you would be surprised to know feel this way. So really, it was all of us, the quiet ones, the bold ones, all of us longing for deeper connections and a broader welcome at coffee hour. So whether you're talking to a newcomer with a sticky name badge,
a longtime member with a faded badge, or someone of undetermined woof vintage who may have lost her badge months ago, how can you settle in for a deeper conversation? And I'm going to suggest that we drop that question, are you new here? Because it can lead to feelings of exclusion if, in fact, you are not new here. And it's just like, oh, apparently I am not new, but I am invisible. I think that also that question, what brought you here today, can be a little tricky, because most of us come to church after some sort of significant shift in our lives that might be really tender. I still remember with sadness and anger when I went to the Episcopal Church in Ashland after my father died, and the person next to me kept nudging me to introduce myself. I was like, no. So what might we ask about? So I'm going to suggest some questions, and then I'm going to invite you to practice for a minute. So instead of like kind of what's new or what's been happening lately, I have a couple of more specific questions that I think might invite people to share a little more of who they are, even if nothing is new and nothing has been happening. So these questions, and we're going to also put them up on the screen, these are some simple ideas, especially given we're coming off of Thanksgiving. For what are you especially grateful these days? What's something surprising that happened to you this week? What are you proud of doing recently? What's been fulfilling? So it might feel a little awkward to do this in coffee hour, so we're going to practice. So I'm going to invite you to turn to someone near you and ask or answer one of these questions. Because sometimes what we need to do is, instead of asking questions, we need to open up and share ourselves to kind of start the flow going. So this is the moment. Turn and find someone, ideally that you didn't come with, and ask away. I'm going to let you do this for 3 or 4 minutes. And if you are at home online, just think of how you might answer one of these. I'd like to invite you to finish that sentence I'd like to invite you all to hit the pause button. It's totally okay if you have more to say, because what's coming up so soon? Coffee hour. So you can keep on talking. So that was so fun for me to watch and hear all of that conversation. So I'm hopeful that those questions helped. I'm heading toward the ends here, and I want to read a poem by Rosemary Watola Traumer called The Question. All day I replay these words. Is this the path of love? I think of them as I rise, as I wake my children, as I wash dishes, as I drive too close behind the slow blue Subaru. Is this the path of love? Think of them as I stand in line at the grocery store. Think of them as I sit on the couch with my daughter. Amazing how quickly six words become compass, the new lens through which to see myself in the world. I notice what the question is not. Not, is this right? Not, is this wrong? It just longs to know how the action of existence links us to the path to love. And is it this? Is it this? All day, I let myself be led by the question. All day, I let myself not be too certain of the answer. Is it this? I ask as I argue with my son. Is it this? I ask as I wait for the next word to come. And I end with a story from an old but classic book by Ram Dass, How Can I Help?, filled with stories. I'm seeing some head nods out there for Ram Dass. And this is going to be dated. You can imagine when this happened. You might remember the state had just released many people from its mental institutions with very little preparation. Thank you, Ronald Reagan. Our halfway house was about to be flooded with applicants. We had only so much room. Who to shelter? Who to clothe? Who to feed? Deep questions to be faced very suddenly. An hour before we opened, we agreed to sit together in silence. Meditation, prayer, just plain calming down, everyone went for their ammo. Then we opened the doors, somehow trusting. Everything we did, we agreed to do with love. Those people we accepted with love. Those we turned away or helped find alternatives, love. Everyone seemed to understand. The differences between us all, staff and applicants alike, seemed less solid. The whole idea that it all had to do with mental illness even seemed a little artificial. No one was really thinking that much or had time to or needed to or something. So much of it was just coming from the heart, so many people with so many problems, but it went so smoothly. How? The day after we were done, we sat down to discuss what had happened, your classic evaluation procedure. Can we come to order? Which met with some laughter. So, someone said. Then this one person stood up and said, these past 3 days, that was about who we all really are. The way we were, that was the truth about us deep down. There was a moment's silence. Someone said, right. And that was the meeting. We waited a little longer. You're not used to things becoming clear like that. But after a minute or two, people gradually got up and went back to work. May we each ask and ask and ask again, is this the path of love? And in the asking and the trying and the failing and the succeeding, may we find the path of love together. As we prepare to extinguish the chalice, I leave you with these closing words. If here you have found freedom, take it with you into the world. If you have found comfort, go and share it with others. If you have dreamed dreams, help one another that they may come true. If you have known love, give some back to a bruised and hurting world. Go in peace. And we extinguish the chalice, but not the light of inspiration and the warmth of community.